Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship here at South End Baptist Church. We're going to start the service here. We want to pray for the students and their leaders that are going to be heading out as we're getting just a few minutes. They're on their way to North Carolina, to Burgaw, to do a mission trip. So if they want to come and kind of stand in the air with their families and kind of come this way, we're just kind of waiting and all. Yeah, this way. Yeah, bring them on. Here they're back there. Here they come. There's a picture of them on the screen. You can see that, so... All right, let me step up here. Go ahead. All right. Parents too. Anyone's welcome that's a part, that's connected in any way to come up. We're just going to pray for everybody here. And I know you guys got to head out here real quick, so they won't even be able to stay for the worship service with us. I guess they can watch it later. Joe can make them watch it later today, right? No, please don't do that. Please don't do that. All right, would you join me in prayer? Let's bow together. Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to serve, for these men and women, boys and girls going together to serve people who have had some horrible circumstances in their lives, dealing with storms. And Lord, we just pray for the people in Burgaw, and just also pray, Lord God, for this group as they travel. Give them safety, help the bus to work well, and everything that they'll take part in. May that be a memorable trip, in a way that you are exalted and glorified through them as you use them to accomplish your purposes in the place where you're sending them. We are so grateful that they are willing to go and able to go this week, and we just pray your blessings upon them throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Godspeed. Anything you want to say? All right. Okay. You be careful. Have a good trip.
Hey, thanks. I'll let you know.
All right. Well, will you all please stand? We're going to begin with worship of He Has Made Me Glad. Oh. We're going to wait for Jennifer to get into the booth so we can have
sound.
Sound. But we got it now. All right. He Has Made Me Glad.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Well, good morning, folks. We're glad you're with us. Glad you're joining us, those that are on the internet with us this morning as well. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be in Philippians for the next several weeks, and if we've joined the Bible study time, I'm competing with Matt Chandler, who's also in Philippians as well, so please don't compare us. He's younger and, you know, probably better than I am, but anyway, as a preacher. But anyway, just remember that. He's a little bit ahead of us where we're going to be today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, just in verses 12 through 20 here, if you can kind of look that on the screen and see where we'll be. Give you a chance to find that in your copy of God's Word, and as you do, we're going to begin that. And if you're here with us today and you'd like to stand, you feel free to stand if you feel want to. If not, just sit where we are as I read this text, Philippians 1, 12 through 20. We'll look at God's Word today and see what Paul says to us in just these few verses. And the apostle, as he writes these words, he says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will, even now as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the apostle and his faithfulness to you today. I pray, Lord God, as we spend some time, just a few moments in this text, I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us, would encourage us, would strengthen us, and would enable us to respond to your call upon our lives and what you are seeking to accomplish. Father, help me to be faithful to your word, to proclaim what you desire each of us to hear, that our spirits might be quickened, our minds strengthened, and our courage empowered, Father, to follow you faithfully in the midst of whatever we, wherever we find ourselves. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, a lot of times in life, it's easy to look at life differently than what we're experiencing, isn't it? Do you ever have a perception, you know, of things that are going on, and you think, I'm the only person that's ever dealt with this? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like my wife would probably say, and my mother would say this about my dad as well, that whenever we are sick, we're the only person that's ever been sick. We guys kind of get that rap. I don't know if any of you other men get that, because, you know, it's different when we're sick because we just, we're miserable, you know, whatever. And that there is an element of truth to that, but it's kind of that way in life. It's just we kind of put that persona on when we're going through a trial or difficulty. It's like no one else that has ever lived has faced the trial and difficulty that we are going through. And Paul is kind of walking through this today with these believers in Philippi. And of course, Paul is going through a challenging time, one that I personally have never faced. That day may come. I'm very well aware of that. But it's not one I relish or look forward to. But he is facing imprisonment, not because he did something wrong, because he went out and, you know, stole something. But he's facing imprisonment because he preached the gospel. And because he will not be silent, because he will not bow to those who say, you just be quiet and just be a good little boy and go over in the corner and do your thing. He faces that punishment. And as if you saw the Sunday school video earlier, the prisons in the days of Paul were a little different than the places where we incarcerate people today. Generally, they were caves. And that's when Paul, at this time, we don't know. Most likely, he is basically attached to a Roman guard, and that's what he's doing. And he's kind of under house arrest. There are times, though, he is literally put in a it's like a cave, and they oftentimes would have him just kind of lined up along the wall, chained to a wall, wherever they could put him. Sometimes it might be a cave that might be tall enough to stand up in, or sometimes it might be 2 or 3 or 4 feet, and you're just kind of stuck in a hole. They didn't really care too much about comfort. They didn't care whether you got enough to eat. They didn't care. I'm sure there was no exercise time in the exercise yard because there wasn't an exercise yard. It was not their concern. And it's in the midst of that, in the midst of a time where if I were in Paul's shoes, and possibly you as well, I would be whining and complaining like nobody's business, right? I would not be happy to say, God, you called me to take the gospel to the nations, and I am sitting in this jail cell. I am or attached to this prison guard. I don't understand why this is happening. God, this does not make any sense. But we'd never hear Paul say that, do we? His focus isn't on his personal circumstances, isn't on his comfort, isn't on the surroundings around him. It's not on his condition that he finds himself. Instead, it's upon the call in his life, and he knows that even in the midst of something like this, God can use him. And so my hope and prayer for you today is that you understand quite clearly that no matter where you find yourselves, God can use you. God can use your life in a way that you never dreamed possible. God can use you for the furtherance of the gospel in a way that you didn't expect. God is able to accomplish things in and through your life that don't quite make sense at the time, but will make sense in eternity. Because this life that we live as followers of Jesus Christ, Paul says it full well later, and we'll get into this text when he talks about it's not about me, it's all about the gospel. It's all about the good news of Jesus Christ being taken to the nations. If that happens, doesn't matter what happens to me. And my prayer for us, my prayer for myself, but for all of us, is that we have that same attitude about our call to be followers of Christ, about what God is doing in and through our life, that we're able to trust him with even the difficult, challenging times in our lives and know that God is still God, God is in control, and God will accomplish his purposes in and through our lives, even if we're uncomfortable or we don't like it. And Paul was there. He understood that. And he wanted to communicate that to believers who I'm sure had a lot of misunderstandings. Paul, we love you, but why do you keep getting in trouble, Paul? Why can't you just, you know, live the good life and kind of do your thing and people leave you alone? But when you're faithful to God and you follow him, the testimony I see in Scripture and the testimony I see in our world today, troubles come. And while we have not faced the trouble in this land that they have in many other parts of the world, it may be coming. Or we may have to choose between our Savior and comfort or our Savior and our lives. And my prayer for each of us today, not just for today, but for whatever comes, that no matter what comes in our lives, we will stand faithful to Christ no matter what the enemy seeks to do to us, no matter what others threaten to do to us, that we will be faithful no matter what, that we will stand firm in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the only good news for humanity. It is the only means of deliverance and salvation. It's the only hope. It's the only thing that can change and transform this embittered, messed up, just crazy world that we live in. Would anybody disagree with me that this world's a little crazy? We're seeing it full bore, aren't we? We see all these things happen. We wonder, God, what in the world is going on? What is wrong with people? I hear them say that all the time. You see things happen on the news, and you can believe about a third of it. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. And you wonder, what's going on? And some people would say, well, God's just, he's just kind of lost control. God has never lost control. God is never surprised. God is never having to work on a backup plan or thinking, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. These people have really messed up my dream and my plan. God doesn't do that. That's what we do, don't we? When things don't work according to our plans, we have alternate plans. We have, you know, alternative plans. We have backups. We have other things that we can do. But with God, it's the same plan, and it's going to work. He's not going to change or alter because he knows the outcome. He knows what's going to come out of all this. Now, I know I've heard people tell me, when is this going to be over? When can we kind of take off these masks and get all this stuff going on, you know, and not worry about social distancing so much and all that, you know? I don't know. In all honesty, I don't think the people that are in charge know. I'll be honest with you. But I do believe that God knows when that takes place. God knows that day. Would you agree with that? He knows what the world's going to look like. He knows what he's going to accomplish. He knows the purpose that he has, and not so much for that he causes, but that he can use this for our benefit and for the kingdom benefit. I would say for a lot of folks, they've had a little more time to read the Bible now than they probably had in days past. Have a little more time to pray, a little more time to spend with family or people in your house. We're you know, just recently getting to go out to eat, so we're not going out to eat as much, I guess, as we have, so we should be saving a little money. I don't know. I mean, things are different because of the circumstance we find, and we can look at them and say, oh, we don't like a lot of that, and I understand that there's a lot about this I don't like. But what is God trying to teach us through this? And when I think of that, as I was preparing for this message this week, I thought about Paul and where he was and what he was dealing with. And yet, okay, God, what you want matters. And so I want us to kind of look at that text again and really kind of, we're going to hone in on one verse particular. We'll get to it, and that's verse 18, because it really capsulizes anything. Because Paul is hearing all these things as he's in prison from others that are talking to him, and there's a lot of people preaching the gospel in the day in the first century, and some of these people are preaching it with the right motives. They want to see Christ exalted. They want to honor. They've been maybe taught or discipled by Paul, and they've heard or read his writings, and they want to be faithful to the gospel, and they want to make sure the gospel is furthered for the sake of God's kingdom. That's what they want to do, and they are praying for Paul. They are trying to encourage. They are grateful for Paul's ministry. And then there are those who are preaching the gospel, and they kind of feel that they're better than everybody else. If they have a different plan, that they can do it their way, and they really don't care about Paul, and they think the reason that Paul is in jail is because Paul has sin in his life. I don't know if that's what they would say, but that seems to be what's implied as you read the text. And so Paul kind of looks at these two groups of people, and he could say, well, I really appreciate those that are being faithful and are doing it the right way, but then, and then there are those here, you know, that are not doing it the right way, at least not with the right motives. That's not what he says, does he? He says, I don't care what their motives are. I don't care what they think of me. I don't care even, you know, if they're doing it for money or whatever they're doing it for. If the gospel is preached, let God be glorified. If the gospel is proclaimed unto the ends of the earth, praise God. Does it matter the motive? Now, you think that seems kind of strange to say that and think that, but yet that is the heart of it. It is all about the gospel, brothers and sisters. It's all about whatever God wants. I love what he says in verse 18. I read again. What then? Only in that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And in case you didn't get it, he says it again. Yes, I will rejoice. As long as Christ is proclaimed, as long as the gospel is spoken, as long as people have the opportunity to hear of the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what my circumstances are. I don't care about anything except that Christ is exalted. And that is, must be, the heart cry of Christ Church. It's all about what he has done for us. When the day comes when I stand before God, it will not matter that I was a pastor. It will not matter how many people I led to faith in Christ, you know, as I witnessed to them. It will not matter the mission trips that I went on. It will not matter all the good deeds I've done, the people that I've helped. None of that will mean anything. What matters when I stand before my Savior, my Lord, my King, my Judge, is what did I do with Him? Am I His child or not? That's all it is. Everything else, that's the one thing that our entire lives boil down to. Not all the stuff we do, not all the stuff we make it about, but about Christ and Christ alone and how we have embraced His will for our lives. And Paul got that. And he wanted the believers in Philippi to understand that. He wanted them to understand that it's not about all these things you make it about. It's not about all the trivial rivalries and things. And you know, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've been around a lot of preachers. And what was even more fun was when I was a youth minister, and I was around a lot of youth ministers, and we're kind of all the same. And you go to these conferences, and they're all there gathered together. You know, it's these conferences where they'll inspire you and teach you to do better and tell you everything you're doing wrong and all that kind of stuff. And so we go to these conferences to learn these things. And many of you go to conferences like that for your job. You go to a training conference, right? And they try to tell you all these things that you need to know and point out to you all these things you're doing wrong, right? And you get, you know, okay, whatever. And you come back from that, and you get about 27 things you're supposed to do to change everything. And you write all the notes down, and you're very diligent. I was, and I'd have these notebooks, and then I'd never look at them again. But I would always think about those times when we gathered together and the attitudes that were interesting among those who were supposed to be faithful to the gospel. A lot of times there's a little bit of, can I say this, competition? And sometimes some arrogance? And at times it was very disheartening and frustrating with some of the people that I served with or served or got to know in these circumstances. God, why would you use them? He's a jerk. Is that fair? Any of you ever met a jerk before in your line of work? And you're like, but yet they're doing really well. And you're like, God, why would you bless them? But as I've grown and began to understand, and especially through the teachings of Paul here, as God uses him in Philippians to kind of temper my spirit, it said, Mike, it's not about their personality. It's not about what you think about them. And you're not in competition with them. All of us are called to be who God has called us to be, to serve in the way that God has called us to serve, to do in and through our lives what God alone can do, to accomplish what only God can accomplish in your life. No one else. I have not been called and delivered to be John MacArthur, Robbie Zacharias, or the late Billy Graham. None of those people. That's okay. I'm Mike Cooper. I'm who God has called me to be. And what I need to be is to be surrendered to Him in such a way that He can use this life in whatever way He desires. And the same is true for you. And Paul got that, didn't he? He really got that in a jail cell. He may have had it before, but that kind of crystallized for him because it was not where he thought he would find himself, not where he wanted to be, but he chose to be faithful to God. And if that was what happened because he was faithful to God, so be it. That's a boldness and a faith and a courage that I think all of us should seek to emulate in our walk with Christ, isn't it? That no matter what happens to me, as long as the gospel is proclaimed, as long as Christ is glorified, no problem. That's what it's all about. Because at the end of the day and at the end of our lives, that is all that will matter. What did God do with my life? What did I allow God to do with the life that He gave me for the sake of the gospel? That's it. And Paul understood that, how much it was all about Christ, all about what God was doing. It's not about comparing myself. And one of the great struggles we have in church culture in America today is we're really good at comparing ourselves to one another. And it's really interesting when people say, well, why aren't we more like this church or that church? And why aren't we have more people, blah, blah, blah. You know, you what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Do you hear that? You know who causes that to happen? The devil. Let's just call him what he is. Satan himself. He's the one who brings the comparison trap into the church. You think the Holy Spirit's doing that? No. What's the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives? To point us to Christ, right? To help us understand who God is, to understand and to follow Him as faithful as we can, regardless of where we find ourselves. But yet, we get all caught up in all these other perceptions. And whether it's among churches, it often even sometimes happens in the fellowship among other believers, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Or we start to compare ourselves. Well, I wish I was could do that. Or, you know, or we may look at somebody that's on stage here that has talent. Well, why don't I have talent like that? I don't know. You know, we have a running joke on staff here about my singing ability or lack thereof. And that's okay. I'm good with that. I always tell people, if I sing to you, you better be concerned. Because I know how I sound. All right, John's agreeing with me. He understands me. And he would say the same about himself. I know I've heard John talk about it. And that's okay. That's not the way God wired me. That's not the purpose for which God made me. And I'm okay with that. Be careful of the comparison trap is really where I think Paul's going here. And what I'm sensing as I was saying, this is beware of that trap in your walk with other people, to compare yourself to someone. A lot of times we compare ourselves to the person that's so far ahead of us in the game because maybe they've been a believer a lot longer than us. They've experienced some things in their walk that we haven't. Why am I not as far along as they are? Stop it. Okay? It's not about a comparison. When they get to heaven, I don't think we're going to even care about all that stuff. Do you think we are? I mean, the first few thousand years, I think it's going to all be about just, we're going to be, at least I'm going to be on my face before God, just amazed that I'm there and just praising Him with all I got. And I will be able to sing in heaven because I think I'll have a better voice there. It'll sound really good, but it really won't. I won't really care what it sounds like because it's not for you. It's not for you anyway when I sing praises. And in heaven especially, it's not for the angels to hear. It doesn't matter. It's for my King. And that's where Paul was in his walk, wasn't he? He understood that it was all about Christ. It was all about honoring, exalting Jesus so that Christ is glorified, Christ is exalted. That's all that matters. Everything else I can deal with, no big deal. I think that's so freeing to think about that, to understand who you are and understand where God has, how God has made you and how God seeks to use you, and let God do with your life what God wants to do. Don't worry about you're not like this person, that person, or whatever. And that, okay, that's I've killed that soapbox, that's dead, right? We're ready to move on. But at the heart of that, that's the focus, because the heart of our purpose as the body of Christ, this is the purpose of the church. And we can do a lot of great things in the church, a lot of good things. Let me put it that way. A lot of things that are very helpful to our community, and that's good. We do a lot of great things, some good things. God's been really blessing through this time. Our food pantry has taken off and being used by our community, and it's exciting. I mean, well, last month there was, 20-some families that were helped by our food pantry? That's incredible. That's fantastic. And we are known, and, you know, I'm at the park and playing basketball, and other guys are wearing masks, and none of us are, so we're playing ball. And a lot of the guys, well, that's the question they get, you know, because I'm usually the only, I'm different from everybody I'm playing with, which is great. They're also a lot younger than me, which is not so great. We have a game on certain nights over there that's for the young guys. And since I've got 20 plus years minimum on all of them, they ask me, well, why aren't you over here? Because I don't want you to hurt me, that's why. But anyway. But as we chat and get to know our neighbors, and they're thankful. Some of them have been, their families have been helped. And if they think, well, so you're at that church. That church has done a lot for our family. We've, you know, a couple times we've been up there, that food pantry, it's been a lot to our family. So it's making a difference. That's what I'm saying to you. A lot of times we think things like that go unnoticed. And whether they go unnoticed in the grand scheme of things in society, who cares? As long as they are noticed by those whom we minister to and to the King, that's all that matters, right? That is all that matters. And that's where Paul was. It only matters what the King thinks. Because on Judgment Day, they're not going to take an opinion poll to determine whether or not you should be honored by God or whether or not you should stay. Did you know that? It is going to be all about the opinion and the knowledge, not even the opinion, the knowledge of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is what He has done, and He has the final say, and there is no appellate court beyond Him and no court below Him in the sense of there's nobody else He's going to answer. He's not going to say, well, what should I do with this one? It's already decided because of Christ. I don't know if that really sinks in, that it's all because of what Jesus has done for us, that our eternity is set, our relationship with God is sealed in Christ, all that He has done for us. And no matter what we face in this life, praise God, we know we are His. They may take our possessions, they may take our lives, they may take our dignity, but they will never take Christ from us. Never. Because we are His. Not He is ours, I didn't, you know, I don't own him, I don't possess him, but I am his possession, I am his child, and as his child, you are as well. He owns you, he is yours. I mean, you are his. He has placed his seal upon you that makes you his child. And Paul understood this, and he wanted the believers at Philippi to get this. And then we kind of, as we wind down these last few verses, for I know that this will turn out. All this stuff I'm going through, all this garbage I'm dealing with, all the, you know, I'm sure if there were, you know, opinion polls and if there was the internet, could you imagine what it'd been like if there had been like Facebook and Twitter in these days? You know, the hashtags and all the different things that would have said, all these guys and these other preachers saying, oh, you know, you don't want to be like Paul, you know. They probably had their own little whatever group. For I know that all this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers, he's telling the believers at Philippi, and the provision of the Spirit of Christ. I know that no matter what I'm going through, and he's saying this while he's imprisoned and he doesn't have freedom. He's saying, I know that all this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit in Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ. That is what will give me deliverance. That is what will give me vindication. That is what will show who I am in Christ because of what you have done and what, as you pray for me. Thank you for praying for me that I may remain faithful, that I may remain steadfast, that I may be, I'm supposed to be in the middle of this and not worry about where I'm not. Because that can be a struggle sometimes, can't it? A lot of the comparisons that we do in the body of Christ and even in culture at large are not about what we've done, but what we haven't done or can't do because we haven't had that opportunity. And a lot of times people get all bent out of shape and all worried about themselves. Well, you know, if I were could have that, it could be me. Doesn't matter, does it? We think it does sometimes. We get caught up in it. Even as believers, we get entrapped into that. That comparison trap is so strong. But it needs to die. It needs to die because it's, the gospel is not about that. As followers of the King, we are not about comparing ourselves to one another or others outside of this building. We are not about that. And we need to get off of that wagon, take the wheels off and leave it and move on. Because our life is to be the life that Christ has made for us and desires for us. He wants to use us in whatever way he desires to accomplish his purposes, his plans for our lives, so that he is exalted. And like Paul, we can say, no matter what happens in this, I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. But Paul goes on in verse 20, after these things he said, it says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything. I will not be shamed. I will not be set apart. I will not be forgotten. But that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. See what he says there? I'm going to unpack that for just a few moments, just to kind of think about that. What he says, it's not about all these things that I've experienced. It's not about my reputation. It's not about you knowing who I am and what I've done. What is everything about that? Christ will even now be exalted in my body, in my life. That because of who Christ is in me, you will know of Christ, not of Paul, or in my case, not of Mike, but of Christ. Wow. That's really freeing when you think about it. It doesn't matter as much about me as I sometimes think it does. It doesn't matter how I am compared to someone else. That doesn't matter. That's not an issue. Well, the issue is really, what is Christ doing with the life he has given me, and what am I allowing him to do in and through me? What am I surrendering in my life, saying, God, whatever you want to do, that's what I want to happen. What does that mean for me? Doesn't really matter. And what does that mean to us today? And one of the things that I've really been thinking a lot about and praying a lot about is when the day comes when things kind of return to whatever that world looks like on the other side of all this mess, what will our church look like? Have you thought about that lately? If you haven't, you should. You should pray about it. As much think about it and dwell about it. And don't try to, what we do when we say think about it is we try to analyze and evaluate everything and determine how it's going to all fall out. And you know what I've discovered about analyzing and evaluating things? It never works out the way I think it's going to work out. Anybody else been there? Happens all the time. But I think I've got it because I think I understand. Is it? No, I'm always wrong. You know, I can say that with 100% certainty. The way that I think it's going to work out is not the way it's going to work out. That's okay. But I know this, that God will use it and use me and use you in whatever way he desires to accomplish his purposes for the long haul. And his purpose and plan for South End Baptist Church on the other side of this is his purpose and his plan, and we must surrender to it and let him have his way, whatever that looks like, and trust him in it. And he can do something that we never dream possible. I don't know. How many of you thought back in the early part of 2020 that this was going to happen? Don't raise your hand, because I know you're lying. How many of you thought we'd be gathering in church like this, wearing masks, whatever, and also we would, our church would be live streamed? Now, that was the dream. I know our tech team, they were dreaming of getting us on the live stream. They were talking about that way before all this took place. That's one of the things that they about and seeking to do. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, that's nice, but nobody's going to watch. And also it's a way that we provide, I know it's not the same as being here, but at least we can provide a worship service for a lot of our folks who really can't get out right now. We really never thought about that at the beginning. And then people watch us in some places from other places. I don't even know who these people are and how they found us and why they found us. Because, I mean, I know a few folks from other parts of the world, but there's places I don't know where these people are, who they are. I have no idea. And what is God doing with this? I don't know. But what if one person is added to the kingdom that would not have been added to the kingdom if this did not happen? Is it worth it? Absolutely. Because it's all about him. It's all about the king. And Paul gets that. It's whether I want him to be exalted, whether in my body, whether by life or by death. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? That's like Patrick Henry stuff there. Where you think Patrick Henry got it? Right there. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's not about what happens to me. It's not about it's as much about what you do with my life or whether I die. If my death brings about people coming to Christ, praise God, Paul would say. I know that because he says that in other texts. I know he would agree with that. And I agree with that as well. No matter what happens to me. It's not about my plan, my vision for my life. It's not about my best life now. It's not about any of that garbage. What it is about, it's about Christ and Christ alone, that he is exalted and glorified at the ends of the earth, and that people know and experience the life-altering encounter that comes with knowing Jesus Christ, no matter what it takes. And so my hope and prayer for us as we will continue to walk through Philippians in the weeks ahead is that we begin to see Paul's heart here. But more than that, our Savior's call to us to follow. Because there's so much more here, but really it's really all about understanding that God's the one in charge. And God's the one that has the plan. As many of you know, I'm a bit of a sports nut. That's one way of putting it. And I like a lot of sports, but I can remember over the years following sports for many years. And one of the things I've noticed about those athletes that have a lot of success with championships, because that's how they measure in professional sports, is success is championships, right? You know, when you have a discussion argument in the room of who the best basketball player is, you know, the discussion is going to come out, you know, between really two or three guys that have the most championships. It's going to be like Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, and everybody else is just kind of there. And that's okay. But I remember hearing Bill Russell in an interview say this once. And I really thought it was incredible. Just to put it in perspective, he played, I think, about 13 years in the NBA, and he won 11 championships. That's incredible. I don't care whether you like the Celtics or not. I'm not a Celtics fan, doesn't matter, but that's incredible. But he said in an interview one time, if he had any regrets, and he said, well, you know, I always thought, what if I'd have hung around and won one more? Really? 11 wasn't enough? What's wrong with you? No one else has even come close. And yet there was that desire. And I think for a lot of us, and I use that, what we do with our lives is, you know, we kind of look at ourselves and say, well, if I'd have just done a little bit more here, then maybe I could have done this. Following Christ is a little different than that. We will have regrets in this life. It happens. There will be times we will not live up in our faith to His expectations or our own expectations at all of what we think we can do. That's going to happen. But do you realize that what Jesus can do with your life, both good, bad, and indifferent, is beyond anything you could ever dream of doing with your life? He can use it to reach people that you will never meet this side of eternity. To touch lives that you didn't even know existed, and maybe don't even exist yet. At the hospital last night and got to meet two newborns, born yesterday, literally, with their parents. That was really cool. Two families that had children. Now, it wasn't their first child. Both of them, it's interesting, it's both these families, their third child. So, but they were born on the same day, you know, that yesterday. And you think of that and you think, when you had your children, parents, right? You think about that day and you think about what could happen and all the things that could happen in the future and the potential, and you get excited, don't you? And maybe a little fearful. Being a parent is an awesome responsibility, it's a wonderful privilege, but it is also a heavy burden at times. Flip that towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when you became a believer and you began to follow His life, and He sees and knows, well, He knows how it's going to end. But He sees that potential of who you can become in Christ as you surrender to Him and allow Him to use your life, of what He can do with you. And then He sees the times when you and I don't do what He asks us to do, and maybe we exert our will over His a little bit, and we try and get it done our way, or we start to connive and plan and analyze, or whatever it is we do that gets in the way of His plan, and we shortchange what He could have done with our life. Well, let me encourage you today, let today be that starting point for your life where you say, Lord, I'm gonna make a mark. I'm going to draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, no more today, by God's grace and God's power, whatever you want, it's yours. This life you've given me, I want you to do with this life whatever you feel best. I know it's not going to always be comfortable. I know it's not going to always go according to my plan. I know it's going to confuse me at times. Has anybody ever been confused by God's work in your life? Oh, man. If you haven't, just wait. It's coming. It happens regularly to me. And that's okay. Because I realize that old saying, His plans or His ways are not my ways or your ways? You ever heard that? That's true. What we have to do is trust Him. Just as a parent, you wanted what was best for your children. You always do, don't you? You want them to have the most incredible life they could ever have. And you try and do everything you can to provide that for them. You raise them up. You take care of them. You provide for them. You want to give them opportunities, you know. If they're into sports, you drive them to every camp on creation. If they're into this, you know, if they're into science, you make sure you help them with that science fair project. Anybody ever done that? And it takes forever, but you helped, probably did more of it than they did. I don't know. My dad did that with me. It's a volcano one time, a long time. It's a long story. I don't got time for that. Whatever God chooses to do, or however he tells, and you try to help your child, you have your heart and your desire is that they become whom you know they can become. How much more does the God of the universe, the one who gave His only Son to save you, think of you and desire to do something incredible with your life? What do you think? Does it even compare? It doesn't. But if I want to experience what He has for me and what He wants to do with me, I got to trust Him. You hear me say that a lot. You're probably tired of that. It seems like I say the same thing a lot of times. I don't know. I kind of feel like we come back to surrender all the time. And I've heard people say that. What's that? That's a catchword. No, it's more than that. That's life in following Christ. It is about surrender. And if you have never read Andrew Murray's Absolute Surrender that was written back in the 1800s, I would encourage you to read it. It's one of the best books ever written on self-abandoning devotion to Christ. He nails it. And he basically takes a handful of scriptures and unpacks them in an amazing way. And it's been a devotional guide for well over a century in this land. I always wonder, what if? What if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? It's not about that. Instead of the what ifs, let us say, God, I'm tired of the what ifs. I'm tired of my plans and my analyzation and all the different things that I do to try and make it work, God. I want to trust you. Lead me. You say you're the good shepherd, I believe it. You say you're my king, believe it. You know what's best, you know eternity, you know what's going to happen 1,000 years from now if he tarries. He knows what this life that you've lived will be useful for to the kingdom across the globe. Okay, God, I trust you. And take some of the pressure off and let him be God. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of the apostle and who he is and what he's done and how those words that he penned in prison so many years ago, even today, still speak to us. Father, bless this time and use it that you may be exalted and glorified through all of it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.